Hello and welcome to another episode of Pinot and Perfume. I am your host, Sarah Chacon. As always, I am podcasting in my daughter's room. The house is still asleep, so I thought I would try and get as much done before she is due to eat again. So I wanted to go over my New Year's resolution for my perfume collection. I know, we're almost in February, but bear with me. Better late than never. So basically, I decided this year that I keep my perfume collection on my vanity in my bedroom. Now, the way our bedroom is set up, we've got like Jack and Jill sinks. So there is a sink and countertop in the bedroom itself, and there's one outside of the bedroom and like a little like area that bridges the master bedroom, you know, the master closet, master bedroom. You have my area, the master bathroom, and then our home office. It's like all connected. So mine is in the little area outside of the, on the countertop, outside of the bathroom. And there's like a large, it's more than a sink. It's like a sink in a large countertop space. So I have like my makeup on there and my perfume collection, which takes up most of the space. And that's kind of been always been like my barrier was, as soon as I start to run out of room, I need to stop buying perfumes temporarily. And so I'm getting to that point. So I have decided that basically, I mean, I've scaled back on my perfume purchases anyway, just because we have financial goals we want to hit. We now have a kid we gotta, you know, think about. So I can't just be spending willy-nilly like I used to. So we've kind of scaled back on that. I've scaled back on that for some time, for a couple of years now. But now that I'm running out of space, I have decided to keep to a one-in, one-out situation. With exceptions, of course. But basically, as soon as I finish up a bottle, which, let's be honest, will take me a while, as soon as I finish up a bottle and that goes, then I can buy a new perfume, whether that's a replacement for the bottle I used up, depending on what bottle it is, or something new. In terms of purse sprays, I can either swap, like use up a purse spray and then buy another purse spray, or use up a couple that would like equal the amount of one full bottle, if that makes sense, and then use all those up, then purchase one full bottle, if that makes sense. Right now I have 3 purse sprays. Two are almost done, and I don't know if I have to look. Those might be enough for like a small 30 mil, but either way, that is my goal. Now the exceptions to that rule are like special occasions. Birthdays, hot Christmas, Mother's Day now. If my husband just randomly decides, hey, because he's done that a couple times last year, was like, hey, I want, you know, pick out a perfume you want, those types of things. But in terms of just doing hauls and purchasing a lot, I think I gotta scale back on that, especially now because I'm physically running out of room. And my collection is like in a nice spot. Like it's everything that I love. You know, they're all loves, and you know, loves and strong likes. It's not like I would repurchase every single one that I used up, you know, because I do like variety, I like to try new things, but I like them well enough to like keep them in my collection, use them, love them, and then once they're gone, they will be, you know, remembered fondly. But it's going to take me a while to use up most of these bottles because I've had them, you know, because I have a lot. I think I have around, I haven't like really counted, but I'd estimate between 45 and 50. Including full bottles and purse sprays, which is probably more than the average person should have. But I think in terms of like perfume aficionados, people who collect, I think that's pretty good size, medium, you know, medium size. So I'm happy with it. I can rotate through everything pretty well. Yeah, so that is my goal for New Year's. For my perfume collection in the new year and probably in the next few years. Now, what that means, I'm still going to be reviewing perfumes on here. Obviously, I'm just going to buy more samples. So, I mean, you guys saw that. Well, I started doing first impressions again. So, you saw the samples that I got with purchase of some fragrances I purchased last year, the Roses Vanille Exceptional. And I recently picked up the Vic Genroff Magic Discovery Set from Nordstrom Rack. And so that's going to be posted. I'm going to start working my way through that set starting tomorrow, first impression. And then I just did a link on like free perfume samples online and found some links, requested those. Also, hot tip, if you like a brand's beauty page, so like let's just say Dior, if you like Dior and then go visit the website, if they're running promotions on like free samples and shit, you will start getting targeted on Facebook. So I scored a Macy's fragrance sampler. It's like four little samples that way. Also, I have samples of Givenchy Irresistible Eau Fraiche. I think that's a new flanker of the Irresistible line. That was part of the Macy's fragrance sampler. I did not know that. I thought it was the regular Irresistible, and I got another sample from Givenchy of the Eau Fraiche, and then Tom Ford's Ombre Leather coming that way. I also purchased Precious Liquids sampler. I've never heard of this brand. They're a niche brand. I heard about it through the Femme Fragheads group, but apparently they have like their 2 milliliter samples of all their fragrances. It's like five, I think, they have in the total line, or at least their OG fragrances, and all you do is pay $5 shipping. So I've got that coming in the mail. I've got a couple of other fragrance samples coming in the mail, doing the little, either filling out a form online to get it or doing the little like page and then visiting the website and then letting the Facebook algorithm just bless me with ads. And that works for like skincare samples too, because they show you like they start showing you similar ads. So I've got like SkinCeuticals coming, a sample of that, a sample of something else. So your girl's got samples for days coming. So that's what I will primarily be reviewing off of. And then the occasional full bottle here and there. But yeah, I think doing this should help keep my collection to a manageable level, because, you know, I don't know if anybody else feels like this, but right now my collection feels like a nice, broken-in favorite pair of jeans. You know it fits. They go with everything, and you just can't help but to wear them all the time. That's how I feel like these fragrances are. Like, I worn them a bunch of times. They always go with anything. I know the scents very well, even the newer scents, because I've worn them so much. I've come to appreciate them more. And sometimes it's just like when you get a new bottle, you gotta get to know it a little bit, if that makes sense. And right now I feel like I know my collection. It's just that broken in, great fitting pair of jeans that you just don't want to get rid of. And so that is how I feel, and I want to keep it like that for a while. So after all that rambling, let's get into the scent of the week. Okay, so this week's scent is Nina Ricci's L'Extase Rose Absolue. Now, on my first impression post, I said that it vibes very similarly to Oud Set and Mood by Maison Francis Kurkdjian. And I still stand by that. I have heard this being described as a cheaper dupe of Oud Set and Mood, a pared down version of Oud Set and Mood. and it makes sense because both are created by Francis Kurkdjian. This one came out in 2017. I'm not sure when Oud Set and Mood came out. I want to say 2016 or maybe 2018. So I don't know. But basically, a lot of the general consensus is that if you like Oud Set and Mood, but maybe the price point is a little bit out of your league, this is a very nice alternative, this L'Extase Rose Absolue. And I agree with that. Now, in my first impression post, I said I could detect the oud, even though there's no oud listed, that I still smelled it because from going from scent memory, it did smell very similar to oud satin mood. Now, I don't think, now having worn it a bunch of times, I don't think it was the oud so much as the rose and vanilla. To me, that's like the most similar. That's where the similarities shine. And this is, again, going off of my scent memory from Oud Satin Mood, because I have used up my sample. I don't own the fragrance. It's on my wish list. It's, like I said, just the price point's a little bit too out of my league right now. But going off of scent memory, I would say the rose and vanilla notes are very, very, they like almost identical. And it's a smooth, like a smooth mix of rose and vanilla. It doesn't smell, it smells very natural. It smells very good. It's very sweet, but not gross. I mean, this is going to be a huge spoiler, but Bancera Roses Vanille, gross. Gross. Like a gross sweetness. It's not that. It's well blended. Now, the notes in this one are Tafe Rose, Black Pepper, Atlas Cedar, Benzoin, Patchouli, Vanilla, and Musk. And you know what? Let's just look up what notes are in Oud Satin Mood. Bear with me. Okay. Oh, Oud Satin Mood came out in 2015. So Rose Absolue could be considered a dupe or a pared down version of Oud Satin Mood. So the notes in here on Oud Satin Mood are Violet, Bulgarian Damask Rose, Turkish Damask Rose Absolute, Laotian Oud, Benzoin Siam, Amber, and Vanilla. So, very similar composition. The only thing that's missing that I can see from the notes are like the violet from Rose Absolue, or the violet and the Laotian Oud. And I would say maybe the amber as well. How I would describe Oud Satin Mood is roses and vanilla with a very dark, rich base that's almost chocolatey. And Nina Ricci, like Stas Rose Absolue, is like a sugared rose and vanilla. Still with kind of dark, but it's a little bit lighter. It's more heavy on the vanilla, I believe. And that's what's kind of anchoring it down, with like a little bit of the musk and I think whatever cedarwood or whatever was in there, but the vanilla is still very prominent. When I wear Rose Absolue, what comes to mind are roses and vanilla pods, like vanilla beans, that's like dusted with powdered sugar. That's what it smells like to me. I mean, and it's beautiful. Like, I have been wanting to get my hands on this fragrance for a minute. And so when my husband, you know, last September was like, treat yourself, I did. And I ordered it from, I believe, FragranceNet. And I'm very happy with the purchase. I'm so happy with it that I don't feel the need right this minute to add Oud Satin Mood to my collection. It's, which I can't anyway, because like I said, price point's a little out of my league. But I don't feel the need to ask for it for like a special occasion, because I just like Stas Rose Absolue so much. I feel like it's a very viable alternative. I think if you like Oud Satin Mood but don't like the price point, you will be very happy with Stas Rose Absolue. It's just a beautiful, beautiful fragrance. And again, vibes very similar. Now, in terms of longevity, Rose Absolue does not last as long as Oud Satin Mood. On me, Oud Satin Mood lasted like all day, and it was pretty powerhouse. Stas Rose Absolue, I would say, is medium. Like, it's medium projection. It's not a beast, but it's not super light and skin scenty. It's, you know, it's there, but it's not gonna like enter the room before you do or anything like that. But it's noticeable. So it's medium. And the longevity would be, I get about 4 to 5 hours. So it's definitely one of those things, if you wanted to wear it all day long, go from like day to night, you would have to reapply. It's still there, but it does turn into a skin scent around the 4 or 5 hour mark. So if you wanted to zhuzh it up, you would need to. But for the value, like, you can't beat it. And it's not really that expensive. Let me look it up. Let's see. bear with me, because I did not have this shit pulled up. I should have already had it pulled up, but I did not. Let me see. Okay, so L'Extasseur's Absolu is going for $54.59 on FragranceNet. On Amazon, it's $68.93. So I don't see any other on the shopping results. I don't see any other one. Mercari's got it for $46, but, you know, beware of Mercari. But yeah, it's, you know, 50, 60 bucks. It's not a bad snap up for that. And again, if you like the vibe of Oud Satin Mood, definitely you will like L'Extasseur's Absolu. Like I said, it's beautiful. I'm very happy to have it in my collection. I think I consider it a very viable alternative to Oud Satin Mood. Yeah, so that's my wrap up on this fragrance. It's beautiful. I love it. I've enjoyed wearing it and getting to know it. It's now part of my collection, part of that broken in jeans feeling. And yeah, I'm very happy with it. So I want to know what what your opinion is of the scent. If you have smelled it, do you think it's as good as Oud Satin Mood? Do you think which one do you prefer better? Do you prefer them both equally? You don't like either one of them? Let me know, because I'm curious. And I think it's really cool of Francis Kurkdjian to kind of throw us budget bitches a bone and let us experience something that smells very luxury for a fraction of the cost. That is why I think this is a good example of the ingredients in the hands of a master, because you can take, granted, the ingredients of Oud Satin Mood and Rose Absolu are fairly, I would say like 80-85% similar, but the fact that the smell vibes so similarly, I think that is what makes Francis Kurkdjian so good at what he does. It's like he can take probably cheaper ingredients and non-similar ingredients as his, you know, luxury scent, and still make it smell like said scent, or smell very, very similar to where everybody gets that same vibe. Absolute masterpiece. I really, really like him as a perfumer. He's now apparently the head perfumer for House of Dior, so everybody's looking forward to see what he comes out with now that he's doing that house's perfumes. I think if he reformulates anything or comes out with anything new, I think it's going to be great. I think everybody's going to be very happy with it, because he's from what I have smelled of his perfumes, both through his house and through other, you know, brands that he had done the perfume for, I've been very impressed. So Francis Kurkdjian, thank you. All right, fragrance in the news. I've got two articles for you. The first one is from the New York Post, and the headline grabbed me. It said, these fragrances are now at their lowest prices for Valentine's Day. After I just got done waxing on about, you know, friggin' one in, one out on my perfume collection, which I'm still sticking to, but I still love to buy shit, and so I'm curious. So I was going to see what perfumes are on sale and pass it along to you guys in case you are not on a no buy and are looking to buy a perfume for Valentine's Day. See, I am basically doing a public service. That's just what I want to do. Okay, so the first one is Gucci Memoir d'une Odeur Eau de Parfum. It is on sale for $51.99. Also, links to these will be in the show notes and on the blog. This is, like I said, this is from New York Post. The links to buy are in this article. I'm not going to click on each one. I don't know where these sales are happening, but if you go to the article and click, you will see. But apparently it's 56% off, which is pretty good. And I think this is the one I always see at like TJ Maxx and Marshalls, is the Gucci. Next up, we have Jimmy Choo, His and Hers Bundle, 2 ounce Floral Ladies plus 1 ounce Ice for Men, which is on sale for $84.99, which is 57% off. One's the 2 ounce for the woman smells like magnolia blossoms. And the one for men is strong and is like woody and masculine. That's how they describe it. The Gucci one, Gucci King, Gucci King, Gucci King. It's got a blend of floral musk, woody and sweet notes. And New York Post claims that this one is unisex. Then we have Panama Jack Salt Air Mist Unisex Spray on sale for $12.99. It basically, I think they say this one's pretty unisex and it transports you to the beach. Versace Yellow Diamond Ladies Perfume Bundle on sale for $89.99. And you get the rollerball and a 1.7 ounce bottle. You have Armani Black Code for men, 2.5 ounce, which is on sale for $89, which is 11% off. It's described as masculine and spicy, and it has base notes of leather. Up next, we have Burberry Body Ladies. For ladies, the EDP spray, 2 ounce, on sale for $49.99. And it's got peach and freesia. Next up, we have CKB by Calvin Klein, another unisex spray, on sale for $34.99. These are all like TJ Maxx and Marshalls. I'm just going to click one of these links. Where are they taking us to? Where are they taking us to? Come on. Dude, the link's not clicking? Come on, 1-800, come on now. All right, I'm gonna do this after. After that, we have Guess Dare Ladies EDT Spray, 3.4 ounces, on sale for $34.99. And it's got florals, woody scents, and musk. Next up, we have Versace Crystal Noir Ladies Eau de Toilette. 1.7 ounce, which is $49.99, which is 39% off. And that's it. Let me see if some of these links. Some of these links are not giving me anything. I don't know. It's not. I've got it pulled up on my iPad, and it's not. I'm clicking on the buy now links, and they're not clicking through. Oh, one did. All right. Where are they getting this? Oh, it takes you to the New York Post store. I had no idea New York Post had a store. Because you add to cart and it has related deals. All the other shit that I mentioned. That's so weird. I didn't know New York Post had a store you could buy shit from. How very strange. Well, there you go. Learn something new every day. Okay. Next one is from scoopwhoop.com. Never heard of this website before, but apparently, surprise, surprise, another influencer is plagiarizing something. In this case, it's the perfume. I had never heard of this influencer, which probably means I am an old bitch, but her name is Malvika Sitlani Arian. And she launched a perfume under her personal care line, Masic Beauty. And immediately people picked up on the fact that the perfume in her promotional photo looked exactly like Jo Malone, like a Jo Malone perfume. And so on this article, they posted the picture and they posted the photo of Jo Malone cologne. And it's very, very similar, like very similar. I can see why people would think that. And then she issued an apology, which it is not, let's see, I guess the link, they posted the link on Instagram, but it's broken on this website. But apparently she posted an apology, which did more harm than good, as these things always go. Quote, case in point, Rachel Hollis. If you don't know anything about that little fiasco, ooh, child, just do a Google search on YouTube. There's a bunch of videos devoted to it. I'm sure a Google search will turn up. Like, just type in like Rachel Hollis TikTok or Rachel Hollis cleaning lady, and this whole rabbit hole. And she's had plagiarism, you know, even before this, she had plagiarism issues before. So apparently this post, it was a non-apology apology. She tried to pass it off as a coincidence. People weren't buying it and calling her out. And apparently it's like a whole thing. This article quotes stuff on like user comments from Reddit, and someone, I guess she started speaking on behalf of Jo Malone brand as well as hers. And people are saying, why is she speaking for both? Like, Jo Malone doesn't give a damn about what you do. She's so frustrating. It's contradicting. And basically she's just justifying it. It sounds like she's not taking personal responsibility. I have not read the apology, but it sounds like she's not taking personal responsibility. Let me see if it's still on Instagram. Hold, please. Oh, it says couldn't load media, so I wonder if she took it down. Which makes sense that she would do that if it just caused more harm than good. But I don't know if it's still available. Oh, and then on the comments on this particular article, someone said that the notes were copied from the perfume Jardin des Soleils by Escada. So basically, the whole perfume from packaging to notes is allegedly plagiarized and people are mad. But like with anything with influencers, the majority of people are mad, but there's always that small subset that keeps giving them money. And I don't know why. I mean, we see it with Jaclyn Hill, with her hairy, moldy lipsticks. And now she launched a jewelry line that people are saying her jewelry's turning green or turning skin green or like not high quality. Surprise, surprise. Why do we keep giving these people their money? What have they done to earn and deserve our money? Just think about that. It's like, oh, I want to support her. She's great. That's great, but she doesn't personally know you. You don't personally know her. You don't owe her anything. Keep that in mind. I'm reminding myself too, because I fall into the trap just as much. We don't owe these people anything. They should prove to us like why we should give them our money. You know, like force them to make high quality products. Don't just slap their name on some shit from, you know, Alibaba Express or AliExpress and fucking try to upcharge 50%. That happened with Tana Mongeau. I think she released a perfume and people started calling her out. I think it was called like Tana the Perfume because her packaging was a skull package, like a glass skull case. And people were saying you could get that same exact packaging on AliExpress, you know, for like $1 a skull or some shit like that. And she's trying to say it's like high quality material. She would only do the best. Like, no. We need to call these people out and stop giving them our money. Stop letting them get rich off of you. Yeah. You heard that right. These people are getting rich off of us and we're letting them. And they're giving us nothing in return. You see it with Trisha Paytas's, when she tried to do her beauty box subscription. There's videos on that, like trying to say it's like $100 value or however, whatever she was trying to say what the value was. And most of the stuff was like from AliExpress, purchased at a bulk discount for like pennies or dollars. And, you know, then you're being charged like $50 for a box. It's not right. So that was a whole tangent I was not planning on going down, but I did. And again, links to both of these articles will be in the show notes if you want to go and read them for yourself or buy a perfume for yourself. If you do, let me know what you bought so I can live vicariously. And that wraps up this week's episode. As always, thank you for listening. If you're a longtime listener, thank you for sticking with me this whole time. If you're new, welcome. I hope we see you back. I hope you enjoyed it and you like my ramblings enough to revisit. Always exciting to get new listeners. If you would like to connect with me online, you can do so on Instagram at Pinot and Perfume. I have my blog, which is basically just a more user-friendly version of the show notes. I try to like review perfumes, like do a more in-depth review, and I might get back to that, but honestly, I just just trying to describe scent is very hard. And I know that's not an excuse. I know I just need to keep at it, but it's very hard. And I actually just need to spend some time reviewing other writers, like how they describe scents, just to get inspiration, not to plagiarize, but just to get inspiration. Like, Base Note Bitch, she does it very well on Instagram. I mentioned her last week. If you're not following her, follow her. Very funny. She manages to describe scents so well that, like, just trigger your nostalgic memories and be funny, like, while at it. Fragrant Maven, I believe that is her Instagram handle. Her name is Susie Nightingale. She's also one of the co-hosts of On the Scent podcast, another great fragrance themed podcast. Check that out. But her job is to write about fragrances. I don't know what publication or site she writes for, but that is her job. She's like a fragrance journalist. And the way she describes scents on the scent is so beautiful and so, again, so detailed and rich, and you can almost smell it. I don't have the talent of neither of these two ladies, so it's very hard without kind of repeating myself. So that's something that I probably just need to power through, because the more you do it, the better you get at it. You know, the more how you see other people, you know, review scents, you know, you read high quality reviews. And then it's kind of like when you're trying to write for whatever reason, like if you want to be a writer, you write a book, you have to read high quality literature. You know, the more you read, the better your writing will be, because it's just, you know what good sentence structure, know what good grammar, what funny, you know, how to word it. And so you might start off maybe imitating the style of those authors, but then after you do it enough, you kind of come into your own voice. That's what I'm trying to get at. A long-winded rambling, but I need to get back to it. I didn't enjoy doing it. It fell by the wayside, blah, blah, blah. Excuses, I know. But I still keep the clickable notes on the blog, and you can listen to the most current episode on each blog entry. That's linked as well. And that's pinotperfume.wordpress.com. You can also email the show, pinotandperfumepodcast@gmail.com. And I have another podcast that I co-host with my friend Jenna. We have been on hiatus for about a couple of years now. It is an Emily in Paris recap podcast called Savoir Shade. You know, we have episode one up. It's real fun. And then, you know, COVID hit. And so, you know, they weren't filming, which makes sense. And then season two didn't drop until December of 2021, at which point, like, I can barely find time to record this podcast. Like, I'm literally sitting in my daughter's nursery. It's 10:39 a.m. because this is the time of day where she will sleep in the longest stretch of time. Like, I've got maybe another hour of her sleeping. So I get this recorded because during the day, she becomes more of a nightmare to put down for naps. And I love her to death, but it's like she gets crankier, she gets tired, and then she'll sleep for like 20, 30 minutes, and then she's like up again. So I'm trying to get the bulk of this stuff done now. But I don't know how I'm going to... We need to get back to it on Savoir Shade, because it's really fun. We have fun recording it. We go on some real tangents, but right now I don't know if I could do two podcasts. But season one is up. It's really fun. Check it out. You can listen to it on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically wherever you can listen, you're listening to this one. And if the spirit moves you and you want to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate it. I would like it to be positive, 5 stars, but I want you to be honest first and foremost, because that is how I grow. So thank you to everyone who have left reviews and ratings and all of that. I really appreciate it. It just helps more people discover the show. And on that note, I hope that whatever you are doing, you are having fun, you are being safe, most importantly, you are smelling good. Bye! Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.